The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.
I'm your host, Lauren Cohen, and I'm back today with our food and dining editor, Jane Marion. Hey, Jane.
Yeah, we'll see.
How's it going this week?
Really well, except my dog needed dental surgery.
Aww.
That happened last night.
Milo?
Milo. Aww. It's super sad, you know.
Is he okay?
He's okay. He had an impacted tooth, kind of like a wisdom tooth.
That sounds really painful.
Yeah, poor guy. Yeah. You know, no, but he had, as they said, like two margaritas.
That's
the equivalent of the anesthesia and the pain pills.
He was a little knocked out.
He was a little loopy.
Oh, yeah. So was he sleeping okay?
Yeah, he's fine.
Aww.
It's just sad.
Yes,
mostly.
It is. Mm-hmm. He's so cute and fluffy and cuddly.
We drowned our sorrows in Sopranos episodes. I've been binge watching.
Oh my gosh, I've heard this. You and another coworker of ours, Emily Kunish.
Yeah,
you guys love
great.
The Sopranos.
If you haven't seen it, free on Amazon Prime.
I need to.
Yeah,
it's one of those shows that I feel like will never go out of style. You know, like people loved it when
classic
it was on.
Mob story, yeah. Great characters, amazing acting.
That's
highly
good.
Recommend it. Now I'm doing movie review, or film, TV reviews, excuse me.
We can add that to your
the medium was. Yeah.
That's great. I feel like so much happened this week. Gloria Vanderbilt, I know you're the biggest Anderson Cooper fan.
I feel like sending him a condolence letter.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
so
I haven't, she had an amazing life. I actually want to read the official New York Times obituary. Have you read any of it?
I haven't. I read, you know, his personal statements. I know that he delivered a huge, you know, kind of his own obituary on CNN. And, you know, but I think it's so funny. We talked about this a couple episodes ago, how I just kind of fell into this, like, Anderson Cooper fan club that you've been a part of for so
president.
Long. Yes, you are. And, you know, I watched the documentary about them, and it was just so sad. I remember saying to everybody, I was like, I watched this documentary, and his mother is 95, and she's still so vibrant and full of life. So it was really such a sad loss.
Yeah.
You know, I think her legacy will live on in so many different things. Yeah. And Anderson is just...
Yeah, my own grandmother lived to 101.
Really?
And my mom, of course, we were all really distraught. We were all very close with her. But
right.
I said to my mom, you know, we couldn't have gotten another minute out of her.
That's right.
I kind of feel like that with Gloria. I mean, she had a wonderful long life.
Yeah.
So
you have great genes. 101.
I know. That's why I eat a lot of butter and fat and don't have to worry about it at all. I'm going to live a long life regardless.
That's so great. And also some other really exciting news from this week. Chef Jay from Cunningham.
I know.
He won.
So thrilling. I've known Jay a long time. He was at Linwood's in Owings Mills for many years.
Right.
I really enjoyed watching him cook. If you sit on the grill line there, you could watch him cook, and now you can watch him on the grill line at Cunningham's. He's a really talented chef, wonderful guy. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, me neither. It's so great. I mean, I caught some of like the live, somebody was filming as they were watching the episode at Cunningham's. They had a watch party, and like the whole room just totally erupted after they took that dome off of that final dish, and it wasn't his dish. And he just, you know, he seems so happy, and he's so deserving of it. He's really such a talented chef. And
did he make pasta? Do you know?
I don't remember. I have to like go back and, and watch the full episode.
Yeah.
But I was just so happy to hear that he won. And that makes three. That makes three of our hometown.
Yeah. Chef John Tate Benningfeld.
And Dave Thomas.
Marquetta. Yeah. Dave Thomas at Ida B's. Yeah. We're on the map.
Yes, definitely. It's so amazing to see them getting all of that national recognition. So.
And $10,000.
Yes.
Right,
that doesn't hurt.
I wonder what he's going to do with the money.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully something relaxing and great. He worked so hard. So yeah, really, really exciting week. We also had some great openings this week. I know in our office, we've all been watching the development of this new Uzo Beach, which is a sister venue of Uzo Bay, which is our neighbor in Harbor East. And it's finally open. I think it was a funny experience because, you know, up here we could kind of see every development stage. And now it's there.
And it was more exciting than the bridge. I mean, we've kind of been through it all, you know, and the construction dust is finally settling. I I'm really glad they're not open for lunch. That's all I can say.
Right.
It could be dangerous. We're right across the street.
Yeah.
But it seemed like it just sprang from the ground overnight, didn't
totally.
It?
Totally, yeah. I mean, every day there was something different. But then in the last couple of weeks, they really, you know, came into the final home stretch with the beautiful tropical plants, and mm-hmm. there's a really pretty wooden trellis and bluestone.
Lanterns,
yeah. Yeah, it's very, you know, so Uzo Bay obviously is known for its Greek cuisine, so it's very Mediterranean. It kind of gives off like a villa summer vibe.
On the Patapsco.
Exactly, exactly.
Just don't look over the wall.
Right.
No, it's really, it looks great.
Yeah.
Really promising. And it looks packed too.
Yes, I've seen that too. You know, it's only been open a few days. Unfortunately, the weather was not really cooperative earlier this week, but you know, I think sunny happy hours, you know, head to Harbor East because it's
Yeah, Alex Smith definitely has the Midas touch. Mm-hmm. You know, anything he opens now becomes instantly popular. He started with Häagen-Dazs, moved on to the Harbor
That's
East
right.
Deli. And then his first baby was really Uzo Bay for fine dining. And things have really exploded since then. He seems to open something new every week.
I know. So much
now he's got like a posse of people that come and fans. And it's going to be really successful.
But yeah.
They have to make their, you know, money now while the weather's good.
Right. Definitely. And, you know, the menu is really seasonal. They have some great snacks out there. There isn't a full menu, but it's kind of just like light bites and cocktails and drinks. So salmon poke, Maine lobster ceviche, grilled lamb sliders. They also have a date and goat cheese spread that looks really good. And then they have lots of beer, a good wine list, and then some really great refreshing cocktails. They have something that they're calling a cold fashion, which is a slushy, and a gin and juice cocktail that uses Baltimore Spirits Company's Shot Tower Gin. So it seems like it's really a great summer spot. So if anybody's looking for that next happy hour spot, it seems like a good one to try.
For sure.
Yeah. Speaking of summer, we saw another ice cream shop open just in time for these like really humid temperatures we've been having. This is another rolled ice cream place. That's definitely, I think, been a trend nationally. And we saw Roll Ice Cream and Coffee, the place in Highlandtown, open about two summers ago. So this is a new one. It is called Polar Roll Ice Cream. It's in the Inner Harbor. It's right on the corner of East Pratt Streets and Marketplace. Kind of like where the Panera used to be. I think there's an IHOP there now. So it's a cool process. I've seen it done before. You freeze like a liquid creme anglaise on a cold slab at negative 25 degrees, and then they mix in a bunch of special toppings and then scrape it into rolls. Very Instagrammable, very pretty. And this place in particular has some pretty clever flavors. One's called the Oreo and Juliet. So it's cookies and cream ice cream with crushed Oreos and shaved white chocolate. There's also one called the Matcha Made in Heaven, which is green tea ice cream with grass jelly and whipped cream. So,
you know, it's not really, it's sort of like everything old is new again. Mm-hmm. This concept has been around at least since I was in college.
Right.
Which was in 1980-something. There's a place called Steve's in outside Cambridge, actually, in Somerville.
Wow, okay.
And another place called Immacambolio that I believe invented this concept of, like, mushing, basically, for lack of a better word. They take the ice cream that's, I think it's frozen at a slightly warmer temperature so mm-hmm. it can be malleable, and they mix in the toppings.
Yeah, it is. I feel like it's something that, like you're saying, it's been around, but it's just kind of surfaced, I think, maybe.
It kind of went away for a while, maybe because ice cream, you know, when I was growing up, it was vanilla, chocolate, strawberry.
That's right.
Friars, one sort of brick that you would, I always hated strawberry ice cream.
Right.
How about you? Are you a chocolate,
vanilla,
strawberry?
Oh, man, I've always been a mint chocolate chip person.
But how about in vanilla, chocolate, strawberry?
Oh, like? I do like strawberry.
You do?
I do.
We could have played well together.
Yes, seriously. I could have taken all the strawberry and you would get the vanilla
but,
chocolate.
But, you know, like Ben & Jerry's and Häagen-Dazs, they sort of already did the mix-ins. So, mm-hmm. Really fanciful flavors without having to do sort of the roll. The roll
right.
is kind of a fun gimmick.
Yeah.
Like a DIY gimmick. But I'm happy to see it coming back.
Yeah.
Certainly worth bringing back.
Totally. And I feel like it'll be a good, again, like summer, especially when you're walking around the harbor. It's just like, the air gets so thick and you're just hot, and if you need something refreshing, I think this will be a good option for people. And I heard about this new place that's opening in Perry Hall. It's actually open in Perry Hall, excuse me. It's called Hive Baltimore Bistro, and it's super local. Like, everything on the menu is a nod to Baltimore neighborhoods. So things like, you know, they have pork for Pigtown, and they have local sausages as a nod to Butcher's Hill. There's little cute, clever, like, subheads on the menu in Balmorese. So one's like the before supper hunt. I don't have a good Baltimore accent.
That's really cute. Yeah, what's your excuse? You grew up here.
I know, I don't have one. And then the really little Italy. No, that was terrible. You know what? I saw Josh Charles was on Jimmy Fallon recently, and he did the best Balmorese I think I've heard in a long time. It was so funny.
He was like, born here, right?
Yeah. He was like, going down to Ocean to get some water and whatever. Like, so funny.
It has a slight Jersey Philly to it.
Yeah.
But it's different.
Yeah.
It's definitely
so
different.
So in Philly, like it was similar. I don't know.
They roll their W's into L's, like how now. I used to make my mother say how now brown cow. She says how now brown cow.
That's so funny.
I mean, I love it.
Yes, for sure. There's just, you know, such a special place in my heart for Balmorese.
You know, I'm a little, I love eating farm to table, but I'm sick of talking about farm to table.
Right.
I'm just like rolling my eyes if I have to go to one more place that bills itself as farm to table.
Yeah.
So this isn't exactly that. It just sounds like they're celebrating Baltimore's neighborhood. So it's like a little bit of a different local twist, but they're not saying farm to table. I don't know if they're sourcing locally.
Right. I mean, definitely with the beer and wine list. I think it's like, it's so thoughtful. They have, you know, everything from Calvert Brewing to Manor Hill to Bordy Vineyards, you know, on their wine list. And, you know, they're even naming the cocktails after different neighborhoods. So there's like a Hamden Negroni and a Canton Sunrise. So I think it's just like they really kind of took time to sit down and say, how can we really, you know, pay tribute to the city in Perry Hall, which is, you know, really cool. So that place is open now. It's in Perry Hall on Bel Air Road. And we heard some news from Federal Hill. So Ropewalk Tavern is going to be closing from July 1st into September, October. They're slating to reopen definitely by October 18th, which is going to be a grand reopening party. But they're closing for renovations. And we heard that they're going to be putting a bowling alley upstairs.
Really?
It seems... I mean, so I spent a lot of time at Ropewalk. I used to live in Federal Hill for 2 years, and it was the go-to. And it still remains the go-to for people in the neighborhood and, you know, a lot of the fresh out of college kids who go to Fed Hill on the weekends. I love it. I still, you know, go from time to time. But it's just, it seems like it's, I don't know, it's hard to envision a little bit.
I'm just picturing the bocce. Have you ever been to the place in Italy with the bocce?
Right. Like, no, that's a good comparison, though.
Wonderful old time.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. La Scala.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's fun, actually.
Yeah.
So bowling, though, is kind of challenging, I think, especially if you're drunk.
Right. maybe that's the draw. I did hear that they're kind of doing it because they do want to attract families in the neighborhood during the day.
Oh, okay.
So family bowling. But then I think, you know, after hours, it will definitely be some tipsy people.
And throwing duck pin, regular bowling?
I'm not sure, actually. Okay. That's a good question. But, you know, four bowling lanes and then different kind of games. So board games. I've heard some things about video games as well. And then they're also revamping the menu, which I'm really excited about. You know, I think Ropewalk is so established. They now have locations at the beach. I think there's one in Ocean City, one in Bethany, one in Fenwick. And the food, in my opinion, was always great when I lived there. I haven't been there in a while, but I think whenever these kind of like old school bars can get a little bit of a revamp with the food, it's always a great thing.
Yeah, it sounds like they have a gimmick. It's a draw.
Yeah. You know what, Jane? I think you would like Ropewalk. It's fun. So in the back area, if you walk straight through the front door and then keep going back, they always have the same piano player in the piano bar.
Oh, I'm already there.
This guy, I have to figure out more about him. He's kind of fascinating. But like without fail, he was always there every Friday and Saturday. And, you know, he takes requests and people kind of like go crazy when he sings happy birthday to you. It's just like,
well, you know, I love the piano player Prime Rib.
Yes. So, you've talked about him before.
Yeah, he's old school.
Yeah.
That's been his full-time job for 24 years.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. I'm not sure how long the guy has been there at Ropewalk, but you know what? I think you would be a fan. Maybe we'll check it out after they
maybe
open.
We'll bowl together.
Exactly.
I need the bumpers though.
That's hilarious. And, you know, another restaurant that I did a little heavier reporting on this week is a place called Chilango's that is going to be taking over the former Modern Cook Shop space in Fells Point. You remember that space?
It's a great space.
Yeah. I loved it there. I think it was awesome because it was kind of like multi-use. They had the grocery part up front, and then they had, you know, the bar seating where you could kind of overlook the kitchen.
Right. Yeah. It also, though, led to confusion because they had fine dining prices. So, like, I went there on a Saturday night when I was writing a review, and the food was actually really good, although they couldn't hold on to a chef.
Right.
But then there were people with baby strollers coming in shorts, you know, off the street in Fells Point.
Interesting.
And, you know, picking up, you know, cartons of milk, and it just didn't quite work because sort of the grocery part was on top of the fine dining.
Yeah.
It was a little confusing, I think.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
And so the new owner of this new place that's going in there, his name is Carlos Cruz, and he is actually the owner of this old school dive bar in Highland Town called Carlos O'Charlie's. It's been there. He said they're celebrating their 15-year anniversary on July 4th, which
that's
is huge.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's huge. So really, really excited for him to take over. He, you know, said that he went to a, you know, Fells Point Community Association meeting and was just so welcomed by the community, and he was so happy to kind of he's so happy to be a part of the dining scene there. So he is from El Salvador, but he is saying that the new restaurant is going to skew more Mexican. Mm-hmm. So the dishes that he has at Carlos O'Charlie's are definitely more the El Salvador, you know.
Yeah, Upper Fells has some places like that that are definitely, it's a pretty big El Salvadoran community in town, and places like Mi Comalito and a bunch of the places we did for our taco store are owned by people from El Salvador. And
Yeah, definitely very authentic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for this, it's definitely going to be, you know, more Mexican. So things like fajitas, enchiladas, chimichangas, the works. And he's really excited about the bar program. There's going to be a really heavy tequila slam with margaritas. And he said he was experimenting with things like a cucumber margarita and avocado margarita. I'm not sure.
The first sounds good. The latter, not so sure, but we'll see.
We're trying it out. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll try it. But I think it sounds like it's going to be a really great addition to that space. It's nice to see something going into that space. It's been vacant for a while now. And he is really, really hoping to do a grand opening the week of July 8th. Of course, you know, this is all pending loose ends and liquor board approval, but stay tuned on more opening news with that. But it sounds like it's going to be great.
Yeah, is it dinner only, do you know?
I think lunch and dinner, and then he did talk about, of course, happy hour, margaritas, you have to.
Got it, if you're doing Mexican food, you need a happy hour.
Right, and weekend brunch eventually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody loves brunch, I think, especially in Fells Point.
Yep. We're pretty simple in Baltimore. We love Mexican food and brunch.
Doesn't take much to please us. So how have you been this week? What have you been up to?
I'm good. So I'm actually working on a Global Eats story along with you. So we're kind of eating all over the city. It's amazing how many countries are represented around the world. In Baltimore. You don't have to leave to eat Azerbaijani food. For instance,
oh my gosh.
Nepalese
that
food.
Was amazing, your pronunciation.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
It was great.
There, you know, literally every cuisine is represented. But I've also been doing a lot of thinking about how I grew up and what global cuisine meant in my house.
Sure.
My father traveled all over the world, but for us, global cuisine meant Chinatown in Philadelphia. That was, you know, really exotic. It's still my favorite food because of the strong association with Sunday night Chinese food dinners. But it's, you know, my father would come home from his travels. He would go to Asia a lot and talk about eating raw fish. You know, I would roll my eyes and think it sounded disgusting. I remember when he talked about eating octopus for the first time. And this was, you know, in the 70s.
Wow.
Nobody was eating octopus.
Wow.
I couldn't even imagine it. But now my own kids, you know, they'll come home and they'll say, you know, Can we have some mantou, which is an Arabic beef tartare dish that they actually have at Lebanese Taverna around the corner.
Oh, my gosh.
My oldest son's a big meat eater and, you know, loves meat in any form. My daughter discovered she loved Afghani food, like at the Helmand.
Right.
They have a dish called mantou, which is one of their signature dishes. That's, you know, pumpkin with yogurt. So it's just really funny because, you know, I grew up eating Chinese food that was exotic.
Right.
Occasionally we would have, we'd go to this place called the Viking Inn that was a smorgasbord. Do you know what that is?
Is it like a buffet?
It's a buffet that rotates.
What?
Yes.
I've never experienced that before.
And it's actually Scandinavian.
Wow.
And so lots of cold herring, you know, fish dishes, meatballs, like Swedish meatballs. And the thing would rotate around. So the appetizers were all you can eat, smorgasbord. And then you would order an entree if you had room. But I was a little kid, and I remember just filling up on these appetizers that would move around. And it was just so exciting. It was more about the fact that they were moving around and filling my plate than it was eating them.
Yeah.
So, you know, times have changed now.
Totally.
You know, kids these days, they've eaten everything.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. Like, you know, I think when I was growing up, I was introduced to sushi at a younger age.
Yeah.
But even, you know, younger generations than me, I see people at our house feeding their kids like
Bim Bim Bop.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Which,
yeah,
I think is a wonderful thing.
It
think,
is. It's great.
You know, it's great that in Baltimore there are so many options to be able to do that. You know, obviously kids growing up with more of a sophisticated palate, I think, opens up a little more by way of like nutrition and what the options we have for them are. So it really is interesting to kind of examine the times and how they've changed.
Yeah, so I've just been kind of reflecting, and funnily enough, I found the actual menu to the Viking Inn.
You did?
I knew it was this classic institution.
Is it still open?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it closed, but I knew it was, you know, you have a sense of that as a kid. It was this an event kind of a place where you would go on a special occasion or birthday. And they were in business for a really long time. But the actual physical building is still there. It was this really cool-looking Tudor building. And,
wow.
But I found a menu.
Wow.
So, and the entrees were either $4 or $5, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a fancy night out. And it wasn't even 1920.
Yeah.
So I don't know. For us, it was fancy.
I'm imagining this, like, beautiful building, beautiful architecture.
With rotating appetizers.
I wonder, like, if you went in there now, if it would still have, like, some of the, I don't know. You would probably feel so nostalgic.
Yeah. And my favorite thing was, you know, like the herring salad, it would get kind of low and then it would rotate around into the kitchen and it would be like a mystery as to how the bowl got refilled. I remember my mom having to explain to me, you know, this food just magically appeared.
That's
that hadn't
so
been
funny.
There before.
You know what? It reminds me of there was a place, it probably still is, a place in Towson where they would have, like, the rotating sushi. Definitely not on the same scale as the smorgasbord.
This was a circle. So half the circle would disappear into the kitchen.
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah. So,
But then, right. But, like,
sort of like the airport with your luggage when I think about it.
Right. That's exactly the comparison.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. And then
you're
just
like, is it ever coming back?
Where does your luggage go? It's like this, like, crazy place.
Totally.
That must be fascinating for a child. It's just like, where is it going? Will I see it again?
Yeah. It's fun to have these, like, childhood, you know, memories that triggered all that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So in between eating Nepalese food and some really good Mexican food, I've also been kind of reminiscing and looking back.
Wow, I can't wait to read all of your thoughts on that, and I know it's going to make a really beautiful piece. So what about Best Bites, Jane? What have you been eating?
I'm pretty simple. So I went to Larder two days ago.
Oh, awesome.
I really enjoyed it. It's the new space in the Sockley's complex, they're calling it, an old Goucher.
Right, where Fadensonnen is.
Shares a courtyard with Lane Harlan's Fadensonnen and Sophomore Coffee, which is a former Clavel manager, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking to Lane today. Larder's lovely. The chef, Helena Del Pisco, Pisco, I believe it is, she actually worked at Chez Panisse, which is Alice Waters' famed restaurant.
She is so talented.
Yes, in Berkeley. And she has worked all over the world. She's been in Tel Aviv and Mexico. But the menu is just like six or seven of the most beautiful, curated on, you know, little lunch items you can imagine. Everything's super fresh and beautiful.
And like hyper seasonal, I've heard.
Hyper seasonal.
Wow.
I went with some coworkers, and So I, one of the things we got was tomato soup with grilled cheese. And, you know, who can think about soup in this hot, muggy weather?
Right.
But it was really light and delicious. And she actually served at room temperature. So it wasn't like gazpacho exactly.
I love that.
Kind of a play on that. Mm-hmm. Beautifully garnished with dill flowers. So it's like dill with the buds still on it. But my favorite part of it was the grilled cheese.
Wow.
It arrived with... it was on mozi bread.
Yum.
So Russell Trimmer of Woodbury Kitchen, formerly
of
Woodbury Kitchen.
This is the bread subscription service out of Turtles Village.
It is up there with best bread in the city.
Wow.
It was a quarter of a sandwich, and I really longed for the other three quarters. But it was kind of like the perfect three bites. There were three of us, and we shared, and we each had a bite.
Wow.
It was just... delicious.
I mean, talk about childhood nostalgia.
Yeah.
I mean, grilled cheese is like
I'm kind of an expert on grilled cheese. You know, but really, I mean, there's only a few components, but it can, you know, it's good. You know, American cheese on Wonder Bread is perfectly great. Actually,
mm-hmm.
It's delicious. It's
yeah.
sort of old original, but this was on a brown bread. The bread is just so good. You can almost taste the grain.
Wow.
And then it was a combination of cheddar and Gruyere, and you know. It was just perfect.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Larder sounds like it's really just taking off as it should. And Chef Helena sounds so talented and incredible.
Yeah, and they also sell like toothpaste, like clay, like artisanal toothpaste.
Wow. So there's like there's a retail component.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm writing a review, but I'm saying it, you know, it looks like a place that Gwyneth Paltrow might shop.
That makes sense, given
like
what you've told
organic
me.
Cleaning products and
yeah, all of her goop stuff.
Exactly. Just feel like, you know, like a beautiful person eating and shopping in
wow.
there.
Wow, I got to get there. That's great. I also had a sandwich. So I spent pretty much the whole day last weekend at Guinness. I drank a whole beer.
You are becoming a real beer person.
I'm trying to. But I drank an entire beer, which I knew you would be excited
was
to hear.
Was that your first time?
It was my first time. Really.
Like, I can relate. I've never made it below the neck.
Really? Yeah.
Really?
I mean, like, this probably sounds so hyperbolic to people listening. Like, oh, whatever. She drank a whole beer. But I just really am not a beer person. I've been trying so hard to get into it. And I drank a full pint. And I was really proud of myself.
What'd you have?
It was the honey ale that they have on tap now at Guinness. And it was... not too hoppy. It went down really easy, but it still, you know, it still tasted beery to me, but not like, you know, too
like
overpowering.
An expert. Wow.
It's that book that Christine, our research editor, got. I'm just kidding. but I had a really great time. They have an amazing taproom menu. That place, it
Did
works
you get
like
anything to eat?
Yeah, it works like a well-oiled machine. So they have the taproom where you can kind of go up to the separate counter and order food. They give you a buzzer and it's kind of just like quick, fast, casual. They also do have, I've never been up there, but they have the more sit-down style restaurant upstairs, 1817. But we were just hanging out in the tap room. We were hanging out outside. It was a beautiful day. And there was a smoked chicken salad sandwich, and it was on this bread that I had to look up. It kind of tasted to me like a ciabatta roll, but it was called Talera. Have you heard of this?
I've never heard of it. I love bread.
Yeah, it was great. It's funny. We both had sandwiches. But it was awesome. You could really taste the smokiness of the chicken, and then there was some really like peppery arugula on there. There was Gouda cheese, which made it really good. And then they make these really good house-made Old Bay chips.
It sounds like it all goes really well with beer.
With beer, yes.
Yeah.
You need something to really kind of like line your stomach. And,
yeah, and make you thirsty
yep.
and the salt.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
It was awesome. I really do want to get to the restaurant that's upstairs. They have, you know, more like fine dining, so oysters, steak, things like that. Of course, with Irish spins on everything, which is very on brand for Guinness.
Sure.
But great week this week. Thank you so much, Jane.
I'll see you next week.
That's right. See you next week. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. This is the first week that everyone can pick up a copy of our July issue, our Crabs A to Z guide. That's on newsstands now. And you can check out our food coverage every day at BaltimoreMagazine.com.
The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.